Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey B. has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B. Outdoor Science and Nature. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Today, it was like waking up on Christmas morning, where you're all excited about the day. Today was the first day in 2.5 months that I would be truly free. Yes, still social distancing, but free. Instead of driving together in my truck, I would meet up with my nephew Wyatt at the start of our adventure. You see, he had just purchased a brand new Trek bike that fits his 6'7" stature. His whole life never had a bike truly that fit him. Just graduated the University of South Carolina, decided to make a good purchase. I was going to meet him, and we were going to start our adventure. We were going near the farmlands where I conducted so much of my chili pepper research. Our meeting place was the historic town of Prallsville, and I'll get to Prallsville in a little bit. My bike was loaded, country music blaring on my radio, and I was driving past many of my favorite fly fishing spots, knowing that my next freedom adventures would be out on these rivers and streams. The reason why we started our biking adventure at Prallsville. Well, many years ago, my good buddy Coach Gorski and I, we went there to fish. And it was the first time that he was there, and I showed him around, and I'll discuss that in a few minutes. And we realized that at Prallsville, you could do all these different things. So we called it LOMO, the land of many opportunities. You see, here at LOMO, which is Prallsville, you got the Lakatok Stream, which is stocked with trout, or you could fly fish it. You have the DNR Canal, which you can fish and kayak. You've got the Delaware River, where you could fish, kayak, canoe, swim, and the DNR Canal Trail, which goes for 40 miles that I could bike on. I could do it all there. Fun story, and I explained this to Wyatt when I was showing him about. There was in Prallsville, I'm fly fishing a stream, and all of a sudden people start showing up in nice dresses and suits with cowboy hats on, and all of a sudden a bluegrass band comes next to the stream and sets up right there. And now they start playing bluegrass music. It was someone's wedding. And here I am fly fishing, and the people in the wedding party are watching me fly fish, you know, because there's just a beauty behind the art of the casting and all this. And there came a point when I actually lost my fly and just continued to fly fish with nothing, knowing I was going to catch nothing, because I got to listen to bluegrass music all afternoon long. That was also a wonderful day. Well, for us, this was going to be a perfect day to bike. It was sunny and in the middle 60s. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. During this COVID time, you can always get all of your outdoor gear from Ramsey. Simply go to RamseyOutdoor.com. Well, those of you that are my listeners, my good friends and family, well, you know that I am the morning guy. So I am up yesterday at 4:30 in the morning, because I'm recording the next day. And I'm up at 4:30 in the morning, breakfast, loading the gear, the bike, and I am out and driving out through, as I explained, the farmlands, the fishing spots and all that. So I get to LOMO, I get to Prallsville early so that I can do my personal walkabout with one of my good cameras in my hands, because, hey, I never go anywhere without camera. So we're there, and I'm just checking things out, the stream and the trail. I've got my neck gaiter on, and there were very, very, typically, you'd have not a lot of people on a trail, but a number of people, and there were not that many, but if they came by before, here you go. I see someone at a distance, and I just pull up the neck gaiter, say, howdy, how you doing? Good day. They're gone, they're away, neck gaiter goes down. Well, I come back to the little parking area there, Wyatt arrives in his truck. We do our 6-foot social distance, talk about everything we need. Neck gaiters are on. And I said, all right, Wyatt, before we go, let me give you a tour of Lomo. And as I did, I began the same descriptions I just gave to you. Well, then we gear up our bikes. And you can always go to Biking the Backroads, and you could check out one of my podcast shows on what you really need for biking adventures. And hey, I wouldn't go there now because you need to listen to this story here. But for your next podcast listening pleasure, I would check that one out because there's so many little pieces of gear that people typically don't realize you need to have. So we get on our bikes. We are headed toward the historic town of Stockton, and it's on the DNR Canal Trail. Oh, maybe you don't know about the trail and what it is. You see, in the 1700s, in this area of the country, they were digging out coal. So they needed a way to get the coal down river. And they figured this out because the Delaware was too big, too mighty, too fast for them to just load barges with coal to control that. So they actually dug a canal 40 miles long right next to it. And they were going to put the barges on there. So they cut, I guess, streamways in from the Delaware River to fill the canal with water, which is still there today. And the way that they were going to get the coal, these heavy barges, to move down the canal, they developed a trail alongside where they had teams of horses with long reins attached to the barges. And they would simply walk behind the team of horses. And while they're walking horses, obviously the horses are pulling the coal downstream. Well, we don't need those barges anymore. So for that reason, they created a trail, and it is now a state park and goes for 40 miles long. You've got the Delaware River on one side, the canal on the other side, and the trail which intersects them, which is a cinder trail, perfectly flat. It is the perfect place to go for a bike ride, a walk, a run. Hey, just being out there with your family and your friends. Well, in different times along this trail, we would stop in Stockton because, you see, Stockton has the perfect ice cream shop. So on the way back, you know, in a different day, we would have stopped there for ice cream. As we biked, and I explained this to Wyatt, right next to the trail, there's only one. There was a deli right next to it with outdoor seating, and typically it would just be filled with people having their breakfast as you're biking by. Well, that was closed, so we can just continue on down our journey. Well, you'd meet many people, and I say many for us, that's a few, and you're on the trail. You see them coming, as I explained. You pull your gator up. You say, howdy, how you doing? Have a good day. Pedal past them. Gator goes down. Well, the DNR Canal, it intersects on one side of the Delaware River. Well, here's the deal. You're able to go over this little wooden bridge and get onto the other side of the DNR Trail. Well, we actually got there over this wooden bridge, and you get there, and now you make this like quick right turn. So now you're on the other side. Hey, so you're on one side of the DNR Canal. You go over a little wooden bridge. You're on the other side. So I just explained it, I guess, a little bit clearer at that point. And we would stop from time to time because we would check out little fishing spots, and those fishing spots for our next future adventures around here, because we could bike with a small little ultralight rod coming out of our backpacks and do a little biking and fishing at that point. Well, we bike through a nice wooded area, and then you get to a place where there is a lock. And there are locks that are on the river and the canal. I take that back. Not on the river, but on the canal. Locks are where they can raise and lower the level of the water. And to give you a really cool example, many years ago, friends of mine, we were canoe camping on the Saranac Lakes, and they are connected by locks. And this is the one time in my life truly that I was inside of it. So say you're pulling up to one lake and the other lake happens to be a little bit lower. The way that you go in, you go into a lock, they close both sides, they lock you in, get it? It's spelled a little different, but they lock you in. And then they lower the water inside the lock from the first lake, the higher lake, and it lowers you down, 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 down to the level of the lower lake, and then out you go. On your return trip, you come into that lock, and now they put water in and raise it up, so now that you're at the level of the next one. So on the DNR Canal, there are these many locks, but there is one that is so unique. They built a footbridge over it, and the footbridge is, you can't ride your bike. It's only large enough for you to get off your bike and to walk it over it. So you're looking directly over it. So it's like a miniature waterfalls is what you're looking at as some of the water's cascading over. And there is this patience and politeness, because if there's someone else on the other side, only one person or group of people can go in one direction. So if you show up and somebody's, you know, there before you, you just hang out, you social distance, you let them go through, you say, hey, how you doing? Good day. And you walk through. Because you see, on the return trip here, I looked down and I saw jewelweed down there. And hey, as an environmental scientist, I just like see stuff and then it spews out of my mouth. But I showed it to Wyatt. And I explained that that's the actual natural antidote to poison ivy. So if you got poison ivy and you picked up some of the jewel weed, it's got a fleshy stem, and you rub it on where you touch poison ivy, you wouldn't get it. So, hey, just a little bit of explanation, but that's where we were. Now, we then arrived, as we pedaled a little bit further on down the road, once we got past that footbridge, to the historic town of Lambertville. And in years past, I actually filmed an adventure here with Wyatt's twin brother, Dylan. And our cameraman, believe it or not, was on a bike. So we would bike from place to place, and he'd get off his bike before we arrived, and he'd be filming, etc. Well, the streets of Lambertville, when Dylan and I were there years back, it was just flooded with people, because this old historic town has, it's like a strolling town, has all these shops, and people are milling about and in and out of shops. There's also ice cream there. See, you ever notice that there's ice cream everywhere I go? And I don't even eat a lot of ice cream. But hey, when you're in the outdoors and you can get some good old coffee ice cream, to me, like, life does not get better. Well, Wyatt and I get to the town of Lambertville, and the streets today are barren. There isn't anyone walking on it. Just sort of a different time. And I'm sure we will get back to, because that's who we are as a country. We will get back to where those streets will be teeming with people. Well, we pedaled out of Lambertville back on the DNR Canal Trail, found a little shady spot, time to hydrate, have a snack. My snack this morning happened to be almonds. I happen to love almonds because they've got lots of energy. They've got quality oils inside of them, antioxidants inside of them, and most important, they taste good. Well, we stopped on another, because again, there's these little wooden bridges that you're going to, you know, continuously catch up to and go over. And we were stopped there because it was a great fishing spot. So we're talking about it, and Wyatt turns around, looks on the other side of the bridge, and he sees on a log, it is filled with monstrous green turtles. And these were, most times you find some smaller shell, like, you know, 4 or 5, 6 inch. And these were like 12, 14 inch shelled turtles, all like packed on top of it, catching the sun. And out of the corner of Wyatt's eye, good outdoorsman, he sees right below us a great blue heron. And I said, Wyatt, just watch. And you could actually watch the great blue hunting. He's looking for small little fish. And I shared a story with him, because if you don't know the word imprinting, birds that are imprinted, you see, what happens is, as soon as a bird is born, as soon as it's born, whoever feeds it first, the bird thinks, well, that must be my mother, because that's where I get food from. Well, years ago, when I explained the story to Wyatt, I am fishing up on the Paulinskill River in a little area off the waterfalls there, where I found a deep pool that I've been very successful with my fly rod. And as soon as I got onto a fish, because there was a great blue heron, I'd say about 30 feet from me. And as soon as I got onto a fish, he came like almost like running through the water instead of flying. You're right next to me, like 2 feet away, and just stood there. And I'm slowly taking the fish off, because I'm a catch and release guy. And I take the fish off and I let him back in the water. And the great blue looks at me like, oh, and then turns around and goes back like 20, 30 feet away. Whatever, 10, 15 minutes again, get onto another fish. And as I'm reeling it in, the great blue comes scurrying over again. And I realized that this bird has been imprinted. Someone taught this bird when it was a fledgling before it began to fly, that they imprinted this bird. And the only way this bird knew how to survive was to get food from humans. So I just thought that that was pretty awkward, that because, hey, if you run into this problem out in nature, see, you're always going to get something from me about nature. Well, there are bird rehabilitation places. So if you see an injured bird of some sort, and you can go online, it tells you exactly how to care for them until you can contact a bird rehabilitator. I work with Giselle Smisco, the Avian Wildlife Center, and Giselle is just wonderful. And if you contact her, if you can get the bird to her, and again, if it's close enough to her, she'll come out and get it. But if you can get the bird to her, they will rehabilitate it in such a way that the birds are fed, taken care of, but not imprinted. And there are little, really cool little tricks. But again, that's why they are professionals in what they do. So I shared that story with Wyatt, but I thought it might be worth it for me to share that story with you. Now, we then crossed over another wooden bridge after that one, and we are now on the Delaware River side. So we're back on, so to speak, the original side. And the Delaware River at this point had these huge rapids. And it was just, you know, as we're pedaling past, you got the DNR on one side, the Delaware with the rapids, wide expanse piece of the river. And it was reminding me of many of my out west adventures on the Snake River, where I do a lot of whitewater rafting. You know, I did a lot of research out west, so the Snake River was sort of like my summer playland all the time. Well, we had to make a decision because, hey, we were not biking 40 miles today, so we made a decision at this juncture to turn back. And we still had many miles in reverse to go. And it was getting later in the day. We started to see a few more, because again, later in the day, beautiful day, few more extra people on the DNR Canal Trail, walking, running, biking. And really, which I really thought was cool, many of them had masks or gaiters, and they social distance from each other or from us. And I thought that was pretty cool. That is the respect we need, because as a scientist, that's what we need to get back. Hey, if you want to get back to whatever you think normal was, this is the way to get back to becoming normal. Well, I made the decision to stay on that side of the canal because there was a trail on both sides for that short piece when you came out of Lambertville. Well, I guess I made the wrong decision. See, I've always been on the other side when I've ridden this piece of it, and I've never been on that opposite side going back. It was going to eventually link up to our original trail because this side was very, very bumpy. And I guess if I said uneven, that would equal also. It could make sense. It was very bumpy there. So I will tell you right now, I now know that I will not do that little piece of the trail on any of my extra journeys. So eventually it met up with the nice, smooth, easy trail. And did you ever notice this? When, and again, this is even if you're in a car, you're going home from a vacation, you're doing something. Did you ever notice that your return trips always seem shorter in time? Don't know why, don't know how. Well, we're going to, coming back, even on the bumpy trail, just before we hit the smooth trail, we found a great new place to launch kayaks into the Delaware. See, I always call this my scouting mission. So I found different things, different places to fish, different places to bike, and different places to launch kayaks. So life is pretty good. So we return to our starting point, which is Prallsville. And now you're probably wondering, like, well, why Prallsville? You see, this was a milling town in the, I guess, late 1700s, early 1800s. And the mill is still there. And it wasn't open today because obviously of all that's going on. But you can actually see the mill working where they're grinding corn inside there. They're doing just a really neat, it's a very artistic little village. You'll get many art groups out there and they'll be painting barns and, you know, not actually painting the barns, but painting pictures of the barns. They're just really, really neat. So there is, and not by nature, but set up by man somewhere. And I know where it's at the end of the little piece of the parking facility there. There is a rock table, so a huge rock with two other rocks below it. And we pull out our lunches because, hey, me and food, it's not just ice cream because I love food. And we did social distance ourselves at 6 feet apart, sort of like, the, I guess, the length of that table. We enjoyed our lunch together, our time together. It was funny. We enjoyed just sort of reminiscing about all that we saw, big old smiles on our faces. And you see, with the big old smiles on our faces, we knew that we would return one day to complete the trail because, hey, we could have headed north to Frenchtown, another historic town. So there's so many different places to go from Lomo. And you know what? I had this, like, all the way home, this big old smile on my face because it was the perfect day to bike to freedom. Until next time, enjoy life's adventures. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.